So many years ago, a Lutheran pastor and theologian named Reinhold Niebuhr wrote a prayer that has come to become one of the best known and most beloved prayers, known as the Serenity Prayer. Many of you probably know it by heart. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's how his prayer starts. It sounds great, doesn't it? If only we could all live that way. If only we had the ability to not be bothered at all by all the things in our lives that we worry about so much that we know we can't do anything about. To have that peace in our hearts, but at the same time, to have that courage to go out and to do what we can, to make a difference, to work to change the things that we do have some influence over, and of course to have the wisdom to be able to know the difference between the two. And that brings us to our two circles. These circles come from the work of Stephen Covey, in particular in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, where he speaks about life as a tale of two circles. Each one of us lives in two circles. There is a larger circle of our lives that's called the circle of concern. And inside that big circle is everything in our lives that we're concerned about. Everything that we worry about, everything that we think about a lot, everything that's important to us, that matters to us. Now, some of those things that we are concerned about, we also have some influence over. And that's the smaller circle. The smaller circle is our circle of influence. The more influence we have over things, the bigger that inner circle is. And the more things that we're worried about, that we are concerned about in our lives, the bigger that larger circle is. Now, if we spend most of our lives in that outer circle, worried about things we have no control over, guess what happens to our inner circle? It shrinks. The more we begin to see ourselves as powerless people, the victim of circumstances beyond our control, the less of a sense of influence we have. And we become smaller and weaker. But if you're able to live inside that smaller circle, if we're able to focus on the things in our lives that we care about that we do have some real influence over, the more we exercise that influence, guess what happens to that little circle? It becomes bigger and bigger. Living inside that circle of influence is what helps us to make a difference in life. Now, why do I share this with you? I believe it's a key to understanding the most puzzling of all of Jesus' parables. This strange little story we have about a crook. I mean, he's basically, this guy is a crook. He's an embezzler. He has been misusing the money that had been entrusted to him as the manager of his wealthy boss's finances. And he's been caught. He's been caught with his hand in the till. And his boss has told him, okay, get the books together, present them to me, you're fired. What does the dishonest manager do? He doesn't spend any time worrying about what's beyond his control. He could spend all of his time saying, oh, woe is me, what's going to happen? This is a disaster. Or spend all of his time being mad at his boss, that no good so-and-so. But instead, he focuses, okay, what do I have? What power do I still have left? It's all going to be disappearing in a few days. He comes up with an idea. And so then he goes and he lowers the debt. While he still has the power and authority to do so, he reduces the debt of the people who owe money to his master. That way he knows when he loses his job and he's out on the streets, he'll have some friends who will take care of him. Apparently, he wasn't real worried about friends before that because he had all that money. But now, all of a sudden, things have changed. And of course, the amazing thing about the story is that his rich boss actually congratulates the guy. He says, well, you may be a no-good crook, but at least you're a smart no-good crook. He commended him for his shrewdness, for knowing what to do within his shrinking circle of influence. And I believe that's why Jesus lifts up this very strange individual as a model for his disciples. That we as disciples also have a job to do. We are we are managers, stewards of something even more valuable than all the money in the world. I've already talked with our children about that. We are managers of the gospel, the good news of God's love. And we can make a huge difference in the world. Not only by telling people about God's love, not only by holding worship services every Sunday to celebrate the good news of God's love, but also by going out there in the world, working to change the world, doing things to demonstrate the reality of God's love. Now we can spend a lot of our time worrying about things that are beyond our control. Many churches do this. We can shrink our circle of influence when we spend our time saying, well, if only we had more people in the pews, if only we had more money in the offering plate, if only we had a bigger youth group, more kids in Sunday school, then we would be able to do stuff. But now you see the circle of influence beginning to shrink. Or what if somebody died and left us $1 million? Think what we could do. Wow, but we forget somebody has died and left us a lot more than $1 million. Somebody has died and left us limitless love, limitless forgiveness, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very power of God working in us and among us to accomplish things that, according to Scripture, are beyond our wildest imagination. Placing ourselves there in the center of our circle of influence, remembering that we are baptized children of God, as Declan is about to be this morning, loved, saved, healed, forgiven, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are able to do amazing things. And as we exercise that power from God within our circle of influence, that circle of influence can grow and grow, and we as God's people can make a huge, huge difference in this world. And as we think about this, I'd like to invite you to turn your page over to the prayer. And this is the full Serenity Prayer. Most people know only the first part. And it's a wonderful prayer to help to put us in that center of our circle of influence. So let's pray this together as we conclude. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen.